morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Estácio's conference call to discuss the first quarter of 2010 results. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the Internet via webcast, which can be accessed on the company's IR website at www.estaciosparticipacos.com.br/IR, together with the respective presentation and the earnings release. We would like to inform you that during the company's presentation, all participants will only be able to listen to the call. We will then begin the Q&A session, when further instructions will be given. In case you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star zero. This conference call contains forward-looking statements that are subject to known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update in the light of new information or future developments. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Eduardo Alcalay, CEO. Please, Mr. Eduardo, you may proceed.
Okay, thanks a lot. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our conference call to discuss Estácio's results for the first quarter of 2010. Well, first of all, we have with us here today Fabio Sandri, our new CFO and Investor Relations Officer, who started with us last Friday. Fabio is an executive with the profile we were looking for to lead our finance and investor relations area. We were looking for someone with the skills necessary for the position and, with our management philosophy, and I'm glad to tell you that Fabio fits that perfectly. Welcome, Fabio, and he will soon participate actively in the dialogue with all of you analysts and investors. Well, let us now move on to the first quarter results. We'll begin with the slide number two on the quarter's highlights. Our Q1 2010 results reinforce the long-term vision we have for Estácio. As I have been saying since the beginning of the year, we now have a solid structure and the quality to pursue organic growth and consolidation on a sustainable fashion. We have implemented our new academic model, and one of its main pillars, the textbooks material included in the tuition fees, is already in full force for new students outside the state of the state of Rio de Janeiro. Its success proves that our strategy of differentiation is right, contributing significantly to the sustainable growth of the business. Though we did not register growth in the on-campus undergraduate education segment this quarter, all other segments posted substantial growth, especially distance learning, in which total base of students reached 16,400, with excellent levels of satisfaction in essential items as content, teachers' support, and infrastructure. Another highlight is that for the first time, Estácio paid bonuses to its faculty and key managers. In early April, around 1,600 teachers were paid variable compensation based on the results in 2009. For this, we took into consideration three criteria: student satisfaction surveys, the evaluation by the course coordinator, the appraisal by the academic manager, and the overall performance of the unit in which the teacher lectures. We once again, with that, show that the quality and student satisfaction are at the center of Estácio's strategy. In addition to that, 220 managers also receive bonuses for reaching their individual goals combined with the company's overall performance. At the last shareholders meeting, we approved the payment of dividends for 2009. We paid 30 million reais in dividends to our shareholders, representing a 50% payout ratio out of our net income. As for our acquisition project, we remain active in this process. As said, we have more than 100 companies screened, which together total 600,000 students, and we plan to acquire 20% of that over the next 5 years. Moving on to slide number three, let's discuss the highlights on our results. An important point I wish to draw your attention to is the 0.8 percentage point increase in our gross margin, mainly due to the improved management of our faculty costs, already showing the benefits of our better planning and control structure for this, which is one of our main cost drives. Our recurring EBITDA decreased 7.9% in the first quarter of 2010, mainly due to the reduction in net revenues, which we'll discuss in detail later on. EBITDA margin declined 0.8 percentage points, reaching 15.5%. On slide 4, we'll talk about our student base. We start reporting our on-campus and distance learning student base, breaking them into undergraduate and graduate programs. We do that to guarantee maximum level of transparency in our numbers in order to facilitate the analysis and valuation of our business. We are devising new growth strategies for graduation programs, especially through corporate agreements. In the first quarter, we registered already a 14% increase in the on-campus graduate segment. This, together with distance learning, which reached more than 16,000 students in the quarter, were able to offset the reduction on our on-campus undergraduate student base. The decrease in our on-campus undergraduate student base throughout 2009, together with an approximately 11% lower enrollment this quarter, led to an almost 10% year-on-year reduction in that in those programs. One item that strongly influenced enrollment in this quarter was the delay in the NM exams, which, as mentioned earlier, delayed the enrollment process for the year and ended up discouraging many potential students from enrolling in courses for this period. It is important to note that we improved our student renewal rate, which increased from 83.5% in 2009 to 85.5% in this first quarter of 2010. And that was thanks to our initiatives to offer individualized academic support and better services to our students, which ended up decreasing dropout rates. As for our growth driver, which is distance learning, I can say that our operations has been a great success, and we can see the recognition and satisfaction of our students, not only in terms of enrollment numbers, but also through internal satisfaction surveys that we perform. More than 76% of our students are highly satisfied with our content, and 73% are highly satisfied with the online teacher support and infrastructure in general. As I mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, the launch of textbooks materials included in the intuitions for our units outside of the state of Rio de Janeiro was a success. In addition to high student approval ratings for the materials, our logistics for printing and distribution was appropriate, and we are confident about launching this product on a nationwide basis next semester. Moving to slide 5, we'll comment on our operating revenues. Gross revenues in the quarter dropped by 4%, mainly due to the reduction in student base. Price adjustments and control over the level of discounts offered to students helped raise our average ticket by 2.1%, which, in the case of the on-campus courses, was 2.8%. Deductions represented 30.5% of gross revenues, compared with 29.9% in the previous year, showing that we maintain our strategy of controlling discounts and scholarships, not to jeopardize our profitability in the medium term. Moving now to slide number 5, we'll talk about cost of services. Our cost of services, excluding depreciation, totaled 163 million reais in Q1 of 2010, representing 62.8% of net revenues, practically stable in relation to last year. The 4.4 million year-over-year reduction in absolute terms was basically due to the 8.5 million reais decrease in personal expenses, which offset the 3.8 million increase in social security charges resulting from the higher rate. In relation to net revenues, personal costs, excluding social security charges, the main component of our cost of services, decreased an important 1.9 percentage points in the period. For the first time this quarter, we had costs with textbooks, which totaled 2.2 million reais. We continue to maintain our strict budgetary control over all other items, and you can see the reduction in almost all the lines. The reduction in operating costs, which was higher than the reduction in revenues, significantly improved our gross margin in the quarter, and it's the result of one of our initiatives to reach margin expansion, which is the planning and better control of our faculty costs. Now, on slide number 7, we'll discuss our SG&A expenses, excluding depreciation and non-recurring items. The increase in SG&A resulted in a reduction of 1.9 percentage points in the first quarter in our EBITDA margin. Selling expenses in relation to net revenues increased by 1.6 percentage points, mainly due to higher communication and marketing expenses during the quarter, with the efforts related to the launch of the textbook materials, the launch of distance learning, and having to deal with the negative impact of the already mentioned delay in NN. In relation to provision for doubtful debts, we maintain our strict policy on the control and booking of defaults, which helped reduce our provisions to 2% of net revenues in the period. Our average terms for receivables has remained consistently around 40 days. G&A expenses totaled 62.5 million for the period. As in the previous quarter, the increase in headcount due to the insourcing and centralization of several administrative functions, such as accounting, was partially offset by the reduction in third-party services as we were able to better manage our conflicts with suppliers. Thus, the 0.4 percentage increase in margin on revenue from such items compensated part of the margin reduction from marketing. Slide number 7, as we mentioned earlier, presents the provision for doubtful debts decreasing by 0.4 percentage points, and our receivable days maintain around 40 days. Moving to slide number 9, we show the increase in gross margin as a result of the improved management of our faculty costs and a reduction in our EBITDA margin, influenced by the reduction in net revenues, and mainly by the higher advertising expenses in the period. Bottom line also was impacted by these items, and we ended up the quarter with adjusted net income of 29 million reais. Talking about cash flow on slide number 10, the company continues to present a healthy cash generation and a solid cash position, and is prepared to go ahead with its strategies related to acquisitions and investment on our sustainable organic growth as well. Finalizing on slide number 11, we'll talk about our next steps and views for the near and long-term future. The drop in revenues this quarter made us review a few points of our strategy for the short term. The main actions to recover revenues are the diversification of students' base, investing in new segments, and screening of new courses in the pursuit of opportunities arising from the economic growth and demand from the labor market. Another point is that we will continue to strictly control costs and expenses through strong budgetary control. We worked very hard on that issue last year, and I believe that we are perfectly capable to increase the pressure on all the system without jeopardizing the quality of our business and our growth going forward. The nationwide launch of textbooks material included in the tuition fees will be our focus in the next quarter, and we already have a new campaign focused on that for the second half admission cycles. I am confident that this product will be an important driver at the time of student enrollment, and we expect enrollments in the second half to exceed the reduction in the student base in the first quarter. Also, it is important to mention that the recent announcement of the procedures for registration in the new FIES, the long-term government-sponsored student financing program, is another opportunity to leverage enrollment and the renewal rate. All our units are duly registered or ready to participate in this program, and we already have an important campaign in that regard as well. We will continue with the important mission of finding interesting acquisition targets which are complementary to our business and our geography, and I can say that we are actively looking for new opportunities. Now, with Fabio on board, our new CFO, who together with me will be highly involved in this project, we hope to bring good news pretty soon. Concluding our presentation on slide number 12, I would like to comment our share buyback program. Last night, we announced, together with our earnings, the approval of our first share buyback program. We believe in the fundamentals of our business and that the current market prices affected by the international scenario do not adequately reflect Estácio's value. The program will be open for 1 year, and a maximum of 1.5 million shares could be bought. This volume is equivalent to 1.9% of our total stock and 7.2% of our free float. Well, so these were our initial remarks, and we can now go to the Q&A session. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please dial star 1. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Again, to ask a question, dial star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We have a question from the line of Bruno Gardino with Santander Bank.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Eduardo, could you please comment how is the competitive environment in the main cities where Estácio is, especially in São Paulo and in Rio de Janeiro? And for Rio de Janeiro, do you believe that your competitive advantage will favor the admission process of the second semester, and how we should see it?
Sure, Bruno. We saw a soft market in Rio de Janeiro, our main market, which, you know, we have 50% of our business in. We saw a soft market there. We believe that in the second semester admission cycle, we'll have a strong leverage, which together with our competitive position and market share and share of brand awareness in this market with the launch of the big and important product differentiation, which is the textbook materials, we are highly confident that we can improve significantly and steal market share from our competitors in Rio de Janeiro. But Rio de Janeiro in the first semester was a soft market and was one of the important responsibles for our less than satisfactory performance on enrollment. São Paulo was a tough market also, the most competitive and fierce competition market in Brazil, and was also, you know, an area where we were a little bit disappointed. We believe that with the full force of our new campaign, because by means of being nationwide with the campaign on the big differentiation aspect, which is the textbook materials, we'll have a better leverage, a strong leverage, stronger than in the first semester in São Paulo, by bringing more students in by means of the strong product differentiation, which is the textbook material. So that is the analysis of these two markets. The other markets out of those main ones, São Paulo and Rio, we performed pretty well. I think more and more, even though we are not as big in the Northeast as we are in Rio, more and more we're having more leverage, we're having our brand better recognized, and our product innovations more and more are benefiting, you know, our growth going forward, and especially our relative performance, relative to competition on those areas.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Hojo Hunaki with Private Capital.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Yes. Real quick, I think if I understand correctly, the undergraduation, the undergrad students went down because of the ENEM. I'm trying to understand how many days of enrollment you guys had in this quarter versus last quarter, versus the same quarter last year.
Sorry, Kojo, I could not get your point. How many days?
How many days of enrollment did you guys have in this quarter versus same quarter last year? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, days of enrollment, you mean, you know, days throughout which we had enrollments open to be made, right, for students.
We had
basically the same period from last year. That was not different this year from last year. We had, you know, basically starting in November and finalizing by kind of mid-end of March, and that was consistent with last year.
Okay, so I guess I misunderstand the impact of the national high school exam. Then, from my understanding, the postponement of the ENAM basically put a small break on the enrollment in this quarter. If I understand correctly.
Yeah, and let me explain you better. Now I get your point perfectly. And why the ENEM delayed or contributed at the end of the day to reduce enrollments in the private sector institution? By going through the ENEM and depending on their grades, the students could get enrollment in the state-owned universities, which are for free, right? So they waited, the students. The postponement of the ENEM exam made also the ENEM results to be delayed as well. So one thing which was to occur by end of or middle of December, the results of the ENEM, which will tell the students who got the seats and who did not got the seats in the public sector institutions, that ended up going towards February, end of February and middle of March. So an important part of students or potential students, they kept quiet, sitting on their hands, not deciding to do enrollments in private sector institutions because they, you know, they didn't lose hope and up until the end, they hoped that they could get seats in the state-owned universities. And when the final results came, by middle of March, some of those guys decided the following way. Well, maybe it's too late, so I'm not going to enroll in any. I didn't get the seats from the state-owned universities, and I wouldn't either enroll myself in a private sector institution. I will delay my decision to next semester or next year. That was the phenomenon that contributed to have a softer enrollment process in this cycle.
Okay. I appreciate the explanation. Let me just ask a follow-up question on that. If we add back, the 6,100 students lost due to the ENEM postponement, I think we still have about a decline of, by my calculations here, 6.8%. Did you guys graduate more people this quarter than you usually do?
Well, the 18, which was the number, 19,500 graduates in this first quarter. Yes, it is a peak. Over last year we had 18, and 2008 we had even lower than 18. We are going through a peak of graduations, and this is, you know, comes out of the age of our students' base and so forth. I guess we'll go lower next year on graduations. But yes, graduation, besides dropouts, is an offender to our students' base. And this, coupled with a softer enrollment process, that's what explained the retraction of our ending balance for on-campus undergrads in first quarter of 2010.
Thank you, Eduardo. I have about another half a dozen questions. So what, in the interest of time and also in respect with the other callers online, I'll just step back a little bit and see if there's any other questions and then come back for more, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And also you can, our IR team will be absolutely available following this call to, you know, take whatever questions you may have.
Perfect. Thanks.
Again, to ask a question, press star then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1. We have a question from the line of Clarissa Berman with Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning. I have two questions. First, in regards to FIES, can you comment a little bit on the impact of number of student intakes in the middle of this year due to the changes of the program? And then second, can you please comment on the current standing of the Ministry of Education regarding the issues on the distance learning polos that were issued on the beginning of this year? Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, FIES was the final rules for applications on the FIES were announced last week or the week before the last one. So it's a little bit too early to say. We have more than 1,000 applications already in our system. We, Estácio, this is a very good number. I was yesterday in the Ministry of Education talking to an officer who is in charge of the FIES, and he told us that we are champions in terms of applications so far. And again, saying that it's too early to say, we have the system open by the government for less than 10 days. Although we cannot quantify that, we are highly enthusiastic about the impact of the new FIES on the admissions process for the second half, besides improving our reducing our dropout rates, because the FIES is also can also be done by current students and students which were thinking about dropping out because of financial means. They can go into the FIES and get the long-term financing, which addresses their possible financial pressure. So this will also contribute for lower dropout rates. So we are highly enthusiastic. We are highly positive. Even though, as we've been discussing with you all, that the one last, obstacle or for the FIES is still the co-signership, the guarantor that the student needs to bring along with him. But still, with the better and more straightforward application process, together with the better rates and terms, this will already have a positive impact, and we are seeing this in the very early on applications process that we already have in our system. Regarding the distance learning centers, which was a situation in the beginning of the year, just kind of a recapping that, we, Ministry of Education, told us in the beginning of the year that we were operating under five or seven irregular distance learning centers, and that was a mistake. We addressed this issue with the Ministry of Education already. They recognized that they were not irregular distance learning centers. Those units were some commercial partners of ours, which they had sort of shops in which they made admissions process for distance learning, which is absolutely possible to be done. And they gave some infrastructure and mostly internet access support to our distance learning students. But all of the distance learning students which got in through those sort of shops, they were absolutely enrolled in one of our 54 accredited and regular distance learning centers. Our agreement with the Ministry of Education was to, for the time being, discontinue those operations with those shops. They can still do admissions process, but it's clear, as we were doing in the past already, that those admissions have to be linked with one of our 54 accredited distance learning centers. So that is the issue regarding our distance learning situation or event, localized event in the beginning of the year with Ministry of Education. The number speaks for themselves. We have a very good performance in ongoing enrollments for the distance learning. With less than a year out there in the market, we have already 16,000 distance learning students. The level of satisfaction is great. We do a lot of benchmark. We talk to Ministry of Education about the results and in terms of satisfaction of our students with the quality of our product. And Ministry of Education, the officials there, they told me that the other day. We are much higher than average, and we are a benchmark for what the Ministry of Education is pursuing as the demanded level of quality in distance learning.
Okay, thank you.
Again, to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Since there seems to be no further questions, I would now like to turn the floor to Mr. Eduardo Alcalay for his final remarks.
So do we have any other questions, or?
We do have an audio question from the line of Matias Garlais with Black Creek Investment.
Hello, good morning. I'd like to understand better the softness in your enrollment, because on the one hand, INEM was delayed, but employment has been doing better for a few months now in Brazil. You spend a lot more in marketing. And then out of Rio, you're offering the textbooks as part of the tuition, so you have a differentiation. So I'm struggling to understand why the softness.
Well, yes, we launched the textbook materials for units out of Rio. And that had a positive impact on those units, which performed much better than the units that the textbook material was not launched. So that was a very strong leverage coping with the softer scenario out there. Well, INEM, was a negative force, which we have to cope with. The increase in advertising expenses was something that we judged necessary to do and to operate under that scenario, and the results were those ones. We saw a steal you know, something which we can say the sector seems to have a lag on the big movements of the economic environment. So we can say that we were the last ones to get into the crisis of mid-2008. We felt the impacts of that crisis more towards into the middle of 2009. And I think we are being the last ones, the sector has been the last ones to get out of the crisis. As you see, all the consumer sectors and so forth are performing pretty well. And we are still seeing, you know, students thinking twice to get and to invest in their education. So I think that will come. And we are, you know, working very hard. We're putting new product innovations, and the big pillar of that is the textbook materials, a very strong and vocal campaign to stress that very strongly this time around, because now we're going nationwide, which facilitates all the communication and all the impact of the message out there. So that's why, and that's how, you know, we are coping with that environment, and we are confident that we're going to offset that in the second admission cycle of the year.
Do you have a sense of market share gains or losses in the first quarter?
Well, the data on the sector are very scarce. You know, there is no kind of a open official data for the sector. Official data comes from the census that the Ministry of Education conducts, and this is 2 year delay. Today we have in hand the data on a state by state, city by city, which is very good, very thorough. But we have the data for 2 years ago. This is something which we are working with, you know, research companies like Nielsen, like Ibopi, and so forth, in order to try to put together a practice which will give sharp data on the sector on a more updated fashion. So, you know, we cannot kind of we don't have clear data for market share gain or loss. Our impression and our take in the situation is that for regions in the north and northeast, we gained market share, and we stayed stable for São Paulo and Rio. That is our kind of initial and preliminary reading of the market, because, as I said, there is no sharp official data on this last cycle of admissions.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the floor to Mr. Alkali for closing remarks.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for participating in our conference call. As I said, our investor relations team is ready to help you if you have any further questions and clarifications to be made. The contact details are available in our website. We hope to see you soon again in our next conference call next quarter. And once again, thank you all and have a nice day.
This concludes Estacio's conference call. You may now disconnect and have a nice day.